Click kaya959.co.za. This is how
we do it. To download the Point of View podcast.
You're listening to Point of View with Pamela Modene. My name is Nzinga Kunta. I'm standing in for her. For this evening, we'd love to hear your point of view. You can tweet us at Kaya on Air is our handle. You can also call us if you have any burning questions for any of our guests. 086-000-959 is our number. You can also send us a WhatsApp, 063-688-0959. Now, the City of Tshwane Mayoral Subcommittee on Illegal Townships is set to meet with legal landowners of identified illegal townships and developments from the 23rd of October 2025, which is tomorrow. Let's speak to the MMC for Human Settlements in the City of Tshwane, Alderman Aaron Maluleka. Alderman, thank you so much for your time on Kaya 959 this evening. Just give us some context into what's happening with legal landowners of those identified illegal townships and developments.
Good evening, and thank you for having me. Tomorrow we're kicking off a process that was initiated by the current executive. An executive may appointed the sub-mayoral committee, as you indicated, that we should focus on illegal townships. Therefore, illegal township, it comes from special planning land use management act and our bylaw on the land use management scheme that then classifies typologies that we have, that you'd have expensive houses that are built on a land that from a, you know, from a distance, you would then think that this development has gone through the SPLUMA regulations. But unfortunately, most people get to buy land from individuals that are lawfully owning the land, but they do not follow the process of applying for the land, do environmental impact assessment, traffic impact assessment, and all other, you know, requirements that the SPLUMA dictates that should be followed. Therefore, we are going to engage first landowners because we want to know who are the title owners of these properties. Then the next stage is to engage communities, people that have bought sites and developed expensive houses, because even when they've identified the landowner, they then move away from responsibility of providing services. Either they come and knock at the door of government, or they tap on our services illegally. Then we took a decision that we need to collect revenue. I think the mission is around collecting revenue, but also to enforce our laws, because there's a building control unit within planning that if you build a house without submitting your plans, that is irregular, and we should either demolish, put a contravention notice to you, and at the end of the day, we should make sure that our laws are, you know, there's a regard for our laws, but they are respected, because if we don't do that, people build on the flat line, protected space, at a later stage when there are problems, government must see to finish on how they protect. People sometimes are duped in buying these properties because they don't know. There's no engineering, you know, intervention, there's nothing. But we need to save our communities, that they must follow what the law and the regulations are dictating.
I mean, that's very scary. If you can just take us through how prevalent the issue is, because I imagine if you're someone who's buying a home, you have dreams for you and your family. I don't think most people will say, okay, just give us your environmental safety thing that you did. Is this a legal development? They're just excited about finding a home to settle in.
Yes. Then I think the South African, you know, story is that there's a category of missing middle. There's someone who doesn't qualify for an RDP. There's someone who can afford to have a bond house. Therefore, this missing middle gets to be frustrated. They go borrow money. They want to build a house for their kids. They want to have, you know, live in better areas. But they are frustrated because they also fall within the category of homelessness. Because homelessness is not about a vagrant, someone who sleeps under a bridge. The homelessness, if it's an expanded definition, it includes people that can't have be included in the categories of people that can buy houses. But anybody wants a permanent house, and government has that responsibility. Gauteng tried to have a program called Rapid Land Release. It didn't go well. We're still working with Human Settlement Department to see how we can restructure it so that it can work. But otherwise, we must provide service stands. We must put up master plan that provides people that want houses. Even our workers in the city, they are frustrated. They want to build their own houses. The only thing that we can do is to build, service stands, provide them an opportunity to build houses. Therefore, we understand some of the frustration, but we also see opportunism, that people see an empty land, they occupy, they sell plots for 30,000, 50,000, and they disappear. They leave communities frustrated without services. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we took a conscious decision that let's consult, let's look at different interventions that we can bring. There's something called the developmental agreement. We can enter into an agreement with them and see how we can contribute towards bulk, land inquiry, EIA, transfer of ownership, the lawyers that are involved, conveyancers. Those costs, we can have a conversation on how they're going to be carried going forward in ensuring that we regularize, but we also guardedly look at not promoting illegality because of it has its own other, unintended consequences that we must run away from.
If you can speak to us, Alderman Maluleka, about then the constitutional obligation that you have. I know that you're speaking about providing people with homes and service stands. There's also flood victims of Mamelodi who are not rehomed yet. Or can you just give us an update on that?
Therefore, we have had a project in Mamelodi, just far off the Pretoria East. If you then just move behind Mamelodi, there's an area called Pinaspoort. Mm-hmm. We had get the partnership with Gauteng government to buy us land, which we are developing 5,000 housing opportunities. We started last year, late last year, to relocate people. And we have so far relocated 1,700, because when we got to the ground to look at the area that has been bought for us, we found out that there was illegal mining of sand, which has caused problems that we can't put people on site. We must rehabilitate first the land. Mm-hmm. So that we can put it in services for them. But the Constitution, Section, I think, 25 of the Constitution, and 26 dictate that we should provide, we've got an obligation to provide services and housing for people. Mm-hmm. But we should then put up what is called rudimentary services for them. If you put them and you are in what we call incremental development, you put them in their stands, you then put roads, put the network of sewer and water. Whilst you are still developing those and putting, installing them in a phase process, you must then bring them, bring chemical toilets, bring water tankers, or put up water stands or stand pipes, so that people can temporarily get access to water and have ablution facilities. Therefore, those responsibilities come from the Constitution, and we have that responsibility to ensure that they've got these temporary services while the long-term plan is to install permanent services.
How long is that process going to take? Because I can imagine if there's 5,000 housing opportunities, you only moved 1,700 people, and then you saw the challenges there, that there are a lot of people who are anxious about being housed in a dignified manner, in line with, your Section 25(5) obligations as the city. Take us through that.
We when we end this year, we will be having almost 2,000 people relocated to Pinaspoort. But going into the next year, around February, we should have dealt with the appointment of a contractor that is going to do rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. Around May, June, we should start with more relocations. Therefore, we'll be able to at the end of 2026, be able to reach the other 3,000 that would be remaining behind to be relocated, because we understand the frustration of rainy season like now, that the people that have been, victims of a flooding, they get anxious. when we are in the season, and we can't postpone their situation. The only thing that we need to do is to work within the, with our teams of engineers, put aside the resources so that we can then be able to take everybody that we promise that they're going to get these opportunities.
I wonder about the broader housing. If you are having challenges housing 5,000 people, I also know that throughout the course of the year, there are people who get evicted or become homeless as a result of whatever other personal circumstances. You brought up Section 25 of the Constitution. We know that according to that and case law in South Africa, that you, as a city of Tshwane, have to house people who are at risk of homelessness if they don't have anything, especially if there's women or children. We also know in terms of PI, there are also going to be people who need accommodation who are constantly coming into the city system. How do you deal with that if you can't house 5,000 people now?
What we do in the department is that we also have an entity called Housing Company Tshwane that deals with rental stock. There are many people that comes and work within the CBD space. They can't afford private accommodation.
Yeah.
I think I released a statement when we were doing one of the bylaw enforcement operations. We then go to Sunnyside. In Sunnyside, when you get in there, there are many students and young workers that want accommodation. They stay in cramped, you know, flats which are demarcated to get extra rooms, and somebody gets money, but they are staying in unsafe conditions. Those areas are not habitable, and this put pressure on the building itself that tomorrow we might have a building that gets to be killing people because of any fire that would happen there. Exit points are I changed because of somebody wants to have an extra room. Therefore, we have identified a number of buildings. When we were having the investment summit 2 months ago, we've unveiled some of our derelict buildings or bad buildings that the private developers can take over. And we are raising funds as an entity to look at rehabilitating some of the buildings to avail more housing opportunities. We have a flagship project called Townlands. We have 1,200 people that we have housed in that Townlands project. We have people that are earning between 3,500 and 22,000 rands. You can see the decent housing that we provided. And it's something that we want to roll out in all our 7 regions, that the rental stock should be available, safe, affordable. There should be public transport that takes people to working place so that disposable income can work on, other things except travel expense. Because if somebody stays in Mpumalanga and works in Pretoria, wants to arrive at 7:30 here, they must leave their home at 3 o'clock in the morning. Therefore, family time, that you should spend, you can't have it because you travel, your disposable income, you use more of your money, 60% or 40% of that money goes into your travel expense. We want to avoid that, but also undermine, our apartheid legacies on spatial planning, bring people closer to the CBD. Therefore, there are many initiatives that we are trying to put in, working with the Gauteng government to ensure that we avail our land parcels that are within the CBD to ensure that the people, not the only category of RDP houses. We know that we have a backlog of 3 million people that are still in the waiting list. Somebody will tell you that I have a green slip from C. I'm, since 1999, I've been waiting for this.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
We want to ramp up. Yes, we still want to ramp up service stands. We want to make sure that with any other initiative of our entity, we avail housing for our people, because it has been a bad story for South Africa that for over 30 years, people are still struggling to get decent accommodation in safer places, but closer to where there are economic activities. Many of our informal settlements, how they mutate is that people are following economic opportunities. They plug themselves within the CBD and certain informal settlement, not because of they like to stay in that informal settlement, but because of they want to see and get economic opportunities.
I think it's a failing of the administrations if apartheid spatial planning is leading to you know, people still being excluded from economic opportunities except in informal ways. And so how do you deal with a very systemic problem in a manner that's quick? Because it's good to say, you know, these are our plans, but, you know, maybe someone's going to be waiting for another 30 years. You hear of people passing away while waiting for an RDP house.
Yes. You know, the recent Urban 20 meetings that took place acknowledged the rapid growth in urban spaces. Therefore, Stats SA has a report that over 10,000 people, you know, migrate into CBD spaces. And therefore, people come to Gauteng where there's no gold. We no longer have gold, but people still have hope that when you're in Gauteng, you'll get a job.
Mm.
10,000 people, you know, are going into what we call inward migration. And that poses a challenge that every metro cities, Ekurhuleni, Johannesburg, Tshwane, they've got common, you know, ills around issues of housing, that many people come into metropolitan spaces
as they should
for a better life. And as metro cities, our plans must speak to the rapid growth that we have. So where to your Deep Slot, your Atlasville now here, where we are, and Mamelodi. Mamelodi, we are landlocked. We no longer have spaces where we can develop. We must go far off the furthest of Pretoria East. We're having a sprawl where we can develop. We no longer have anything in Mamelodi. You must go to Cullinan. You must go and ensure that you get space elsewhere. But that is an it's a crisis of metro cities, that your plans, if they don't talk to densifying on how you plan, you won't resolve the problem. Mm. We no longer have space to build, you know, single stands. We must then go high rise. We must do walk-ups so that people can get accommodation. Therefore, if you then understand the pressures of metro cities, that people will not stop coming here. People will not stop going to Cape Town because of economic opportunities. That's where people on day-to-day basis, the circular economy. You see people doing recycling in a CBD space because of it's busy there. You see informal traders in our CBD spaces because of those are found economic opportunities. How we then plan, work with economic development and everybody.
Yes.
It must speak to the growth that we have.
All right, MMC for Human Settlements in the city of Tshwane, Aaron Maluleka, thank you so much for your time on Point of View this evening, just taking us through the housing crisis that is not only from the 1990s up until today. You can tweet us your thoughts at Kaya on Air is our handle, and you can also drop us a voice note, 063-688-0959. In just a moment, we'll be hearing the latest or what came out today from the Ad Hoc Parliamentary Committee that's investigating allegations of malfeasance in the police service. Do stay with us on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.